All right, please be seated as I pray. Father in heaven, what a blessing to consider that we do not need to stand before you on our own merit, that we can look to your Son. We can look at his righteousness, his purity, his sinlessness, and we can claim that for ourselves when we recognize him for who he is. Lord, I pray that as we remember your Son this morning, you would give us insight into your word, and I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning. This is the time in our service where we remember Jesus and who he is, what he did in place of Christians at the cross, a time where Christians can remember what Jesus did for them, how he took their place in a cross. In a moment, we're going to be taking two small elements, a wafer and a bit of juice. And it's important for us to know that these are merely symbols. They're just symbols, but they point to the reality of who Jesus is and what he did at the cross for those who would trust in him. Today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at how Jesus brought to an end the Father's wrath against him. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 19. We're going to be looking at verses 28 through 30 together. And if you don't have a Bible, some men are going to be coming down the aisles. Just raise your hand and they can get a copy to you. If you don't actually own a Bible, please consider this as our gift to you so that you can begin reading God's word for yourself. Our passage today fits within the crucifixion narrative. And when we begin in verse 28, Jesus will have been on the cross for 6 hours. And that 6 hours was divided into two halves. The first of those was from 9 a.m. to noon, and that was regular daylight hours. And Jesus did some very important things during that time. He asked the Father to forgive those ignorant Roman soldiers who crucified him. They had no idea what they had done. Jesus also hung on that cross in nakedness and shame, and he endured the scoffing and the jesting and the insults of all of those who were around him. Those who were passing by were hurling insults at him. So were the religious leaders, and so were those who were on the cross with him. And their scoffing and their jeering and their mocking went something like this: "You can't possibly be the Son of God, because if you are the Son of God, then you wouldn't be on that cross. If you will come down from that cross, you will prove to us that you are the Son of God." And so they continued their mocking. Jesus also did something else while he was on the cross. He cared for his mother. He entrusted his mother to John's care. And from that day, John took her into his home. And you see that in verses 25 through 27. Jesus was doing something else while he was on that cross, and that is he was fulfilling Old Testament prophecies about himself. And you see one of them in verse 18. Jesus was crucified among criminals, and that satisfies and fulfills Isaiah 53, where Isaiah writes that Jesus would be numbered among the transgressors. And then if you drop down to verse 24, you see that they cast lots for his garments, fulfilling what David wrote in Psalm 22. That was the first three-hour period. Then there was another period of time. It was the second three-hour period, and John doesn't actually make mention of that in his gospel, in his description of the crucifixion. But the other three gospel accounts do. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all mention the darkness. They all tell us that darkness came across the land from noon until the third hour. And it's during that time that the Father's judgment against all of the sin that was in everybody who would put their trust in Christ came pouring down upon Jesus as Jesus hung on that cross. And that period of time sits between verses 27 and 28, where we're going to start this morning. So as we pick up our passage at the very end of that darkness, what I want us to be looking at in verse 28 is what Jesus knows, what Jesus actually knows as he's on the cross. And then we'll see why that's important. So follow along as I read verses 28 to 30. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been finished, in order to finish the scripture, said, 'I am thirsty.' A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." We see what Jesus knew at the beginning of verse 28. Jesus knew that all things had already been finished. Now, understanding this word finished is very important, and what this use of the word finished means here is something that is brought to an end, something that is no more. What John is referring to here, and what was brought to an end, was the Father's wrath against everybody who had put their trust in Christ, everybody who lived before Christ, who looked forward to Christ and what he would do in their place at the cross, everybody who was contemporary to Jesus and looked right at him as he was on that cross, and all of us in the church age, as we look back at what Jesus did, the Father's wrath against all of those people was satisfied in Jesus' work during those 3 hours at the cross. It was finished. It was brought to an end. That means there was no more wrath, not one drop of it. Jesus absorbed every bit of it. John goes on and he says that Jesus, in order to finish the scriptures, once he had known that, said, "I am thirsty." This use of the word finish is slightly different than the original use, the first use. This use means to accomplish a goal. It means to reach a mark that had been set. And Jesus knew that there was one more prophecy about his life that he satisfied before he would die. And that was in Psalm 69. The soldiers dipped a sponge into a jar of sour wine after Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And they attached it to a branch of hyssop, and they reached it up and they gave it to Jesus. And that was what satisfied David's words in Psalm 69. What's important for us to understand is that Jesus did this knowing that the Father's wrath had been brought to an end. We ask ourselves, how did Jesus know this? I want to read a small section of Isaiah 53:5 for us. It's just one phrase. This helps us understand how Jesus knew that the Father's wrath came to an end. Isaiah 53:5 says in the middle of the verse, "He," Jesus, "was crushed for our iniquities." And that had two aspects to it. It had a spiritual aspect to it where Jesus was enduring a torment and an anguish and an agony under the Father's wrath. It was a spiritual torment. But it also had a very physical dimension that Jesus felt in his own body physically the weight of the Father's wrath against everybody that he was representing on that cross. And when that wrath was finished, Jesus knew it was finished. He could feel it release. He knew it. So, Christian, if you're here this morning and you have trusted Christ, if Jesus is your Lord and your Master, think back to this week. Think back to those places where you fell into sin. Think farther back. Think decades back to where maybe you fell into sin last century. Know that every single one of those things was an offense against a holy God. But know this, that Jesus satisfied the Father's wrath against every one of those while he was on the cross. And he knew that he brought that to an end. So when the elements come to you, take and consider those things. Whatever your week looked like this week, rejoice that Jesus' work in the cross in your place was sufficient for you. And then when your heart is fully prepared, take the elements on your own. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, I want you to know that we're very, very thankful that you're here this morning. It is our privilege and it is our joy to have you with us. You need to understand something very important about what took place at the cross. Jesus was actually able to satisfy the infinite wrath of the Father against sinners because he himself was not a created being. He was the Son of God. He did that work in 3 hours. Any one of us, we're created beings. We don't have the capacity to bring God's wrath against us to an end. For those who don't trust Christ in this lifetime, they will spend an eternity attempting to do that in a lake of fire. But today can be a day of salvation for you. If you recognize Jesus for who he is and what he did in the place of everybody who would humble themselves, look away from themselves, and look to Jesus. After the service, there will be some people up here at the front, to your left. They know Jesus. They've put their trust in Jesus. They look to Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. As we just sang, they don't have any confidence in their own merit. They would love to talk with you about what it means to know Christ and be saved by his work in your place. But when the elements come to you, just pass them by to the person next to you. but consider the opportunity that you have today to turn to Christ. So men, come and serve us, and then I'll close our time in prayer. Take the elements on your own.